Well, thank you, Brother Robbie, for a good song. We appreciate that. It was a blessing, and certainly God is all we need. What a challenging phrase. When I want more, I want less than what you want to give. You know, God wants to give us so much, and we often want so little. And we get what we ask for, which is far less than what he wanted to give. And so, a wonderful song. Thank the Lord for that. Well, as we think about nature, and I guess with all the events of this last week here, we've been thinking about nature a lot. As we think about nature, we sometimes stand in awe of the beauty. You know, you stand out on the mountain range and you look out over the valleys and the peaks and you think of all the beautiful things that are there. And sometimes, you know, the thought comes to your mind, well, you know, I hope heaven is kind of like this. You know, I have these beautiful, beautiful scenery and it'll just be so lovely. And then, you know, the thought comes into you, well, no, it's just going to be streets of gold and I'll be in a city and you know, heaven won't be like that. And so we think that, you know, somehow we're going to lose that we're going to lose all that beauty that is there. And yet, what the Bible reveals to us is that heaven is going to come down to a new earth that God is going to create, which tells us that there is going to be that same beauty in the future time, that God is going to make for us a heaven that is not otherworldly and ethereal, something we don't understand, but that God is going to make for us a heaven that includes the New Jerusalem, a beautiful city of all of the wonderful descriptions, but as well of a beautiful earth that will be perfect and a place that we will understand. It will be a heaven, will be a place that is very real, a place that is, in a sense, to us, very familiar. And so earth, that new earth that God is going to create upon which the New Jerusalem will sit, will be a familiar place. It's going to be a place like unto home. Now, as we think about the comparison between what the people often assume about heaven and what the Bible says, there's a lot of contrast there. And so I want to just think about some of the things that people have said, and I take this from a book on a guy did a lot of research on this subject and asked a lot of people a lot of questions and got their opinions. And this is where he's getting these statements of what people are thinking about heaven. And often what we think about heaven is not really what it is like. And so people often say heaven is non-earth, and yet the Bible describes a new earth. They say heaven's going to be a place that's radically different. It's unfamiliar. I won't know what it's like. And yet the Bible makes plain that heaven's going to be a place very familiar to us. Many people think that their body, that they're going to be disembodied, they're going to be floating around as some kind of a spirit being, you know, and they'll just be able to pass through each other and they won't really have a body like we have now. And yet the Bible talks about us being embodied. Many think of it as being a foreign kind of a place where you don't really fit, you don't really feel at home. And yet heaven is described for us as being our home. Many think of it as being a place where they're leaving their favorite things. They have to abandon all the things that they've known and enjoyed and loved. And yet the Bible makes plain that that which is good will be retained. And those things that we love, we will be able to do and to advance, and we will have the best ahead of us. Many people think of there's be no time and space in heaven. And yet the Bible makes plain there is time and space in heaven. It will exist upon that same plane that we are used to. Many think of heaven as being static, that everything stays the same, it is eternally the same, there's nothing that ever changes. And yet the Bible makes plain that heaven is a dynamic place, a place where there's all kinds of new and exciting things. Some think of heaven as being very boring, a place where we just float around on a cloud and strum our harp and there's not a thing to do. And yet we are told that heaven is a place in which we will worship and serve God. We have a universe over which we will rule. We are given purposeful work to do. We will have friends that we can enjoy. Many think of heaven as being a place where we have instant and complete full knowledge. And yet the Bible describes heaven as being a place where we learn and where we are constantly discovering new things. Some say heaven seems to them to be kind of boring. And yet the Bible makes plain that heaven's going to be a fascinating place. Some think of heaven as being a place where there's a loss of desire. I won't want anything else in the rest of my life. I'll have no desires. And yet heaven is the place where there will be a continuous fulfillment of our desires. We often think of heaven from the perspective of it being the absence of the terrible. We describe it as there's no more sickness, no more sadness, no more sorrow. And certainly the Bible does use those terms. And we look at it in that regard, that it is a place in which we have no more of the bad. And as you get older and older, that becomes more and more precious to one. You know, the aches are going to be gone and the pains are going to be gone and all the bad things that have happened, you know, and all those things that you recall, and all that will be taken care of. And that becomes very precious to us. But what of those who are young? They look forward to all kinds of things in life and the joy. And to them, that's not much of a heaven, that there won't be any of these bad things because they've never known those terrible things yet. But heaven is described in the Bible as not only being a place where the absence of the terrible, but where there is the presence of the wonderful. It is a place far greater than we can ever know. And so these are some misconceptions that people often have. And yet heaven is revealed to us to be a glorious and a wonderful place. And so let's think about that fact that heaven is our home. Over in the book of John, as we read that this morning in John 14, it talks about the fact that one day that is going to be where we are. The Lord tells us we're not to be full of trouble and we're not to be full of fear. We're to believe in God. He says that in His Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, He would have told us, and He has gone to prepare a place for you. And He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. All right, so He says He has prepared a place for us. He says in His Father's house there are many rooms, is the better translation. Probably even a better translation would be the word apartments. There's apartments, okay? There's lots of spots. All right, there's going to be lots of homes. There's going to be plenty of room. I've gone through that many, many times about this vast quantity of space and the size of the rooms you could get and still give a room that big to more people than have ever existed on the world. You could give a room a mile by a mile with a 20-foot high ceiling to every person, to 335 billion people. And still leave half of the space of the New Jerusalem empty. And so there's vast quantities of space that are there. There's plenty of room. So when the Bible describes a room, you know, and it says an apartment, you know, you don't want to think of a little itty bitty spot. You want to think of a mansion. And the reason that King James used that was in the palace that was there in England at the time. It had within the palace mansions. Okay, so they had one building, the palace, but within the palace there were mansions, which in effect were apartments. Okay, but you know, not itty bitty little spaces. These were luxurious and wonderful things. And so they use that word. The Bible says this is going to be where we are going to live. Now, there is no place in Scripture where I can find that it uses the word heaven and home in the same verse, that heaven is our home. It's, you know, but yet we are told here in this passage that God has prepared a place for us and we are going to live in that place and that's going to be our home. All right. So the idea is that heaven is going to be the home that we are going to live in. And so as we think about home, you have to think about the fact that home means things that are familiar, things that you're used to. You know, when you go someplace, you know, you take a trip and you go someplace new on vacation, it's kind of neat to see all the new things. You find, you know, you get to check into a new motel, you know, and you like to find out all the exciting things that are there. And then you go to some new place, you know, and visit new things and you see stuff you've never seen before. And you enjoy looking at all the new things that are there. But it doesn't feel like home, does it? Eventually, you come back to home. And as the old saying goes, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. We like being home, don't we? We enjoy being home. We like being where our stuff is, and we know where things are, and we know how things work, and, you know, we are familiar with what goes on. I'm sure many of you who are older have had the experience of going back to your childhood home and seeing what it was like as a child, you know, and as you drive down the street, you know, you may see things that are different and whatnot, but as you see that old house, you know, old memories flood back and you just somehow sense a feeling of being familiar, of being at home and of peace and, you know, satisfaction. Heaven is going to be a place like that, a place where we fit in, a place where we belong. It is a place that God has been preparing for us. It'll be a place that we fit. Heaven also, though, as being our home, when you think of home, you cannot think of home without thinking of the people. You know, it's wonderful to have a house, but that's not really what makes it home so much, is it? It's the wonderful people that you know. It's the people that are there. Heaven's not going to be a place where we go and we don't know anybody, where we don't remember anybody, where we don't know any, you know, and we've forgotten everybody, and you don't have to remember, you know, and God just wipes away all the memories of things that have gone on. Heaven's going to be a place of wonderful bliss. Yes, it'll be a changed kinds of relationships. The Bible speaks of some of those changes that are there. But it is going to be a place where those that we've loved will be, where we'll know them. And as we walk into those, you know, as the old saying is, you know, you go through the pearly gates and there you are in heaven, you will sense, I know these people. I fit. These are my people. This is my home. This fits with me. You know, if you've had the experience of traveling abroad and then coming back to America, it's wonderful to come back to where you fit, where you belong, where you sense that, you know, I understand what's happening. You know, this is my place, and this is where I belong. And it's a wonderful thing. And so heaven is going to be our home. We're going to have a place that will be like home. It will not be a place foreign and unfamiliar and boring, and with it will be a place of eternal bliss where we fit, where we know one another, where we love one another, where we fit in. Now, I want to think about for a moment those words, the new earth. Over in Revelation 21 and verse 1, it tells us that God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, he says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. We are told of the new heaven that will come down. It is called that New Jerusalem. It comes down from out of heaven to God, to earth. And it says, and God will dwell with us in that place. And so there we are told where we are going to be, because we are going to be with God. He's going to be on that New Jerusalem, which is going to be on that new earth. And so that is going to be the place of heaven where we're going to be. But notice here the word new is an adjective, and it describes the word earth, which of course then is the noun. earth is the thing. New is the description of the thing. So earth is something that is tangible. Now, if words have meaning, then you have to describe something by a word that is, you know, the same. Okay? You can't change words. You know what a piano is. That's a piano. Okay? You understand piano. You know what a piano is. All right? Now, some of you know it's a baby grand piano. But it's a piano. Okay? And you recognize that, you know, there's different kinds of pianos. There's spinet pianos and grand pianos and all kinds of different pianos. But that's a piano. And you recognize it has all the things that make a piano. It has keys. It makes some noise. It has strings, you know, blah, blah, blah. All right. So you understand. That's a piano. Okay? That's what it is. But if a word has meaning, I can't say that is a piano. That's not a piano. That's a piano. That's not a piano. That's a piano. Because I say it's a piano doesn't make it a piano. It's a piano because it's a piano. This is not a piano. Me calling it a piano does not make it a piano, does it? Now you say, you're making a big deal out of something awfully silly. No. Notice here it says new earth. Okay? If it says new earth, it can't be something completely, absolutely beyond any comprehension. You have no idea what it is. It's got to look like earth. That new earth that he's going to make is not some radically fantastic, out of the world, you don't know what it is, you have no experience. It's earth. When the scripture uses the word earth there in the text, as you go through the meanings of the word earth, and without running you through all the many references to the word earth, it basically denotes the surface of the ground upon which we live. It talks about the water and the dirt and the hills and the trees and the animals and the people. That's the earth. It's not necessarily referring to the totality of the planetary structure, but it is referring to the ground that we experience and know. And so if we're going to have a new earth, that earth that we're going to have is going to be what we know to be earth. It's not going to be something so radically different that you don't know what it is. See, you were made to live on earth. God created us originally and put us in the Garden of Eden. He made us to live upon this world. We were made for it. We are people made out of the dust of this ground, given the very life of God into us. God breathed into us the breath of life, and now we are designed to live upon this place. This is where He made for us. Now you say, well, it's all messed up. Well, yeah, it is. And there's some problems. It's called sin. And yes, one day God is going to get rid of all that. And that's the concept there that comes out of that new aspect of it. He tells us that He is going to, that just like that first heaven and first earth were real, so that second heaven and second earth are going to be a very real physical place with the same kind of trees and plants and things that we know and experience. Will there be some differences? Yeah. And the differences that are there, the Bible makes plain the differences. Animals won't have the ravenous nature that they have now, that they destroy and hurt. There won't be sin in the hearts of men to cause us to do iniquity. There won't be the effects of sin in our life. The plants will grow and we will eat those things. Yes, there'll be some changes in things, but it will still be this wonderful world. I remember as a kid just thinking, you know, all I really want out of heaven is just a little place in the woods somewhere where it's quiet. Now, maybe that's not much of a dream of heaven for you. You know, maybe you want a giant mansion in the city where there's lots of activity. I just wanted someplace quiet. And what a blessing to know that there is going to be a world in which there will be trees, in which God could just put me out there where it's quiet. You know, and I could just mind my own business and be happy and serve the Lord and do the things that He wants. You know, God gives to us those things that are the heart's desire. What a wonderful and blessed promise we have. That new earth is going to have the qualities of earth. It will have all of those things. It will operate within the realm of time and space that we operate within. Yet, it will be free from all of sin and all of the sinful effects. And so, a wonderful new earth. Now, does making heaven and earth then one, you know, bringing heaven, we think of heaven so much as being up there, because right now, you know, heaven's not here, it's up there, all right? And so we think of heaven being up there, and so, you know, we think of the two being separated. But when we put the two together, as the Bible does here, does it somehow lessen heaven? Does it make it somehow worse? Well, heaven's the dwelling place of God. And God is revealed to us as being transcendent, that He is a God that is beyond all of our expectations, that He is powerful, immense, that He is inhabits all eternity. You know, how can you inhabit all of time? And yet He does. He inhabits all of eternity. He inhabits all of space. It matters not where I go. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I go to hell, you are there. If I go to the bottom of the ocean, you are there. If I go to the uttermost parts of the world, you are there. No matter where I go, God is there. And so He is described as being omnipresent. He is described as all-powerful. Certainly, He is transcendent. And thus, in some ways, it seems inappropriate to think of heaven as being here upon the earth, that somehow we are lessening heaven to make it so. And yet, before sin came, God used to come and walk and talk with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, what a world that's going to be for those two. You know, they're the only two that saw the earth before it was messed up. And now they had to live their life, most of it, seeing it all messed up. One day, they're going to see it put back. Won't that be a fantastic thing for them? To be able to see the world restored. Restored to what it once was. I have to think they will be like the Jews who, upon seeing the temple being rebuilt in Ezra's day, were weeping. The old people who were there were weeping because they remembered the glory of the first temple. And they remember the destruction of the temple. And they saw the laying waste of the temple. And now they see it restored. And their hearts are full of joy. And there's just weeping as they see the blessings that God has brought upon them. Now, heaven will not be lessened because it is upon the earth. God used to do that. But there's a second reason heaven is not reduced because of that, and that has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll recall in John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So Jesus was there with God, and He was, in fact, God, living there in heaven with God. Okay? That's what He was. But then it tells us down in verse number 14, "And the Word, this same one who was God, became flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so He who was God became flesh. Now, does the Scripture reveal that Christ became less? That He somehow, because He became man, became less of God? that his glory was diminished? No. See, it talks about the fact there in Philippians 2. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not think it something he had to hang on to or grasp a hold of. He did not think it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. In other words, he was willing to take on the form of a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So when the scripture says there is, he did not give up his divine prerogatives, he took on humanity. He was not lessened, he was increased. You see? So when God puts heaven on earth, the dwelling of God with man here upon this world is not lessening. In any vein, it will it lessen heaven in any way, shape, or form because Christ took upon himself human form and was not lessened in his godness. He is still fully God. He is still eternally God. He is not lessened because he took upon himself the form of a man. Heaven can now be for us both eminent and transcendent. It can be a place in which we live with the transcendent God eminently. He is right there with me. Now, you know, we often sense the desire to know God. I heard an interview of a lady who is doing a play or a movie, I guess it was. And as I listened to her and this other lady interviewing her, it was very obvious to me that she did not know God. But she is talking about knowing God and wanting to know God and the longing that people have to know God, to have a desire to know him. And so she is pursuing it within the realm of the charismatic. That, you know, if I can find some kind of miraculous power in which I can know. And she's praying, you know, dear God, please let me know your presence. Let me know your power. Let me know. You know, we have that longing. People want to know God. And that's the great appeal of the charismatic movement, that promise that says to people, yes, there is a power out there. You don't have to be content with the Word of God. You don't have to be content with Jesus living within you. You can have God just overwhelming you and taking you on. And so there is this desire that is there. Yet, heaven will be that place. For in that day, we will know God's presence and power within us in a way we have never known. We will, our faith, the scripture says, will be sight. See, and that probably is one of the great theologic verses that argues against the whole tenor of the charismatic experience movement. Our faith is sight. It is not now sight. That's what people want. It will be. Heaven is going to be upon this earth. It is going to be real. It will be a place tangible and touchable, where God in his very presence will live with us. How can that be? How can the eternal God who inhabits eternity be in time and space? I don't know, except that Jesus did it. And he will be with us. And so, we need to get a little bit homesick. Because heaven on earth is what God has made us to have. It is what we were created for. It is what God made us for. The old songwriter wrote, "There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar." Another songwriter said, "Thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tear." Yes, there is a city whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10 tells us. We have a heavenly home. It's not a place that's different and weird and out and you don't understand it and you're going to go there and it's going to be all radically strange and you won't fit. No, it'll be home. Heaven is going to be home. Are you homesick? We should be. Let's pray. Father, we do ask that you